What better way to finish a week of radio than to have the old commish come in? 1-300-736-736 is our number. You can text us on 0433-98-1116. We're here for the good oil for Penrite. Penrite Oil, Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. And, of course, our great friends at Melbourne Airport Parking. He comes in, sometimes he has toilet paper he's written some notes on, others on the back of a coaster. Sometimes it's on his arm and his hand. He's brought a nice sheet in today.
I am never going to say a bad word about this bloke ever again because he's coming on the road trip to end all road trips
well,
later this year.
People
want to
know where they can see Watson, Sheehan and Newman live. Where is it?
At Dimboola pre-game. They play
pre-game
against Stawell at Dimboola at Dimboola Park on June 15.
How many can you get in a room?
I don't even know
June
that they've 15, got a room.
Is it?
Yeah, what did you think?
Oh,
it was?
Sam can't go that day. Now, as Gary told me to say this to you, how many sheets?
Well, there have to be some travelling, mate, some per diems.
I'm going to buy both of you lunch on the
That'll
way
do.
Out there.
That'll do.
Not for Fawcett, won't. That's very good of you. I'd love
that's
to
That's great
have been
of Mick
there.
To do that.
I would, seriously, I would have come, but I can't.
And why not? Why can't you come?
I mean, Perth for footy.
Now, okay, Sam wants to record a podcast.
He does.
On the way up. It's a four-hour drive up there.
It's an 8-hour round trip. That's a whole series.
Well, what are we going to talk about on this podcast?
Oh, before you go, I said to him, he said, now, how far is this, Mick? 2 hours, is it? I said, 2 hours will get us halfway. He goes, Jesus. But he's in.
Whose car are we taking?
The Lambo?
I don't want to go in. No. It'll take me 15 minutes to get into Sam's car.
Well,
you
can only take one of you in the Lambo.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how many other cars has he got?
He's got six.
Yeah. Does
Why
one need
take
a long
them
drive?
In spells.
I tell you what you don't want to take, and that's the car that we went from Tassie, from the top of Tassie to the bottom in. He put it on the Spirit, drove it over. It was a big, that big red thing. Have you seen that one?
Yeah,
it's a big
I've seen
flat.
Them all.
What is that called?
I don't know.
Well, it was a big Chevy or Mustang or something.
No, he's got the Mustang, but this was some other thing, like a big Diablo or something.
Right.
And it's like a boat when you drive down the road. It just drifts like a big boat from one side to the other. Anyway,
well, we're not going in the Mustang.
Okay, we might have to go in the other thing.
Drive, Timbo.
No, I don't know about your driving.
Right.
Where do you want to start today, Michael?
Well, I know the rampy stuff is we're tired of it. I just would like to make one
We'd
point.
We'd like to hear your
one
take.
Point. Why has this man been fined $10,000 for saying you talk like a little girl? Now, who in the country took offence at that?
A lot of people did.
Who?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
But little girls talk a certain way.
No, but it
the umpire didn't take offence.
It's a put down.
Oh, not to me, it isn't. And
not to you.
I'm not trying to be different here. I was staggered to think that you can hit a bloke in the head and get fined $3,000 down to two or $2,000 down to one. He's been fined $10,000 for saying to a bloke, you talk like a little girl.
Are you not aware of campaigns that are running, advertising campaigns that are running now about being respectful to women and where it starts and the language that's used around?
Little girls speak in a certain way, Tim.
So when he said that you talk like a little girl, what did you think that he was trying to do, Dane Rampy?
I tell you what he was trying to do.
Was he trying to compliment the umpire or not?
No, but what he was trying to say, he said, I didn't hear you.
No, he said you talk like a little girl.
Gary, what did he say? He said, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, no. He said you talk like a little girl.
Yeah, but before that, I didn't hear you.
But it was used in a derogatory manner.
Well, this is not to provoke discussion.
No, that's okay.
It's just an honest view. I am staggered that he could get fined $10,000 for that and that the Swans, who contemplated appealing, decided not to go ahead with it.
Yeah.
The umpire wasn't offended, Tim. If he was, he didn't tell anyone.
Really?
He didn't even give him a 50-metre penalty.
Was he not offended in any way?
Well, he didn't say he was.
Okay.
The female members of football would be offended.
Why?
Well, because it was used to put an umpire down.
Jesus, you've fallen into this category now too.
Have I fallen in or
what's
am I
the category
more,
we've on, fallen
hang
into?
Hang on, hang on. Have I fallen in or am I more enlightened?
Well, I think the
that's
former.
That's a poor thing.
No,
you're
but,
saying.
But Gary,
you're saying I'm falling in with some PC activists.
I think
you?
I think you're presuming that people will be offended by this.
Well, I know they were.
Well, who? Who's?
Well, members, female members.
Were they?
Tim Watson just told you he was.
Well, he.
You're not listening. Tim Watson just told
righto.
You.
Righto. Of course, I'm listening.
No, you're not.
I always listen.
No.
I've got two daughters in my family, and I've got lots of female friends. Not one of them has expressed a view about this.
Okay,
that they
so
were offended
in your
by
circle,
it.
No one was.
Yeah.
Tim Watson's in your circle. He just told you he was.
Lady Susie, has Tim got to be offended?
Lady Susie was offended.
He
okay.
got to be offended?
Well, he's a male commentator.
Can't he be offended on behalf of the female population?
That's an assumption.
No, Tim just told you that.
I'm offended on behalf of my granddaughters and my daughters.
Well, they said something to you, did they?
No, my granddaughters didn't say anything to me, but my wife did. She said that she thought it was an offensive thing to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm of the other view.
What did your daughter say?
They didn't say anything.
Did you ask them about it?
I think I asked Kate about it, and she's in footy, and she didn't have a problem with it.
Okay. Well, you don't have a problem with it. I think a lot of people do have a problem with it.
Yeah, but
I
think
it's
totally...
And the AFL had a problem with it, and the...
I'll leave it on this because I know it's tiresome, but I think the AFL have totally overreacted, saying, I think people will be offended by this. We better whack him with a heavy fine. Now, that is nonsense to say that is four or five times more serious than hitting a bloke in the head on the football field.
Well, that's a different argument.
There are financial sanctions in both cases.
I thought that he would get a please explain, which he did. I thought that the apology was enough. I wouldn't have handed him a fine, but I still think that what he did was wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's 5,000 and 5,000 suspended.
Yeah.
Which is very heavy. I thought it was very heavy as well.
Okay.
Well, what else you got?
Oh, I'm not sure.
What about the AFL? I want to get your thoughts. That's one part of the rampy thing, but how do you think they've come out of it? They've lost respect, haven't they?
Did you watch Jared Waitley last night?
Oh, we heard him. We'll play it. For those that didn't catch Jared Waitley last night on AFL 360, who's measured, who is criticised sometimes for being an AFL stooge or an AFL plant, which is absolutely wrong, but that's the uninformed view. This was his take last night.
What a cock and bull explanation this is. This is 50 shades of nonsense. This is completely cocoa bananas. You tell me what part
of the post-shaking
is an unintended consequence of Rampy running and leaping at the goalpost.
What this means, Robbo, in
my quest for what is right and what is wrong, is that if a gentleman goes and leaps on the post this weekend, it is not a free kick. The correct interpretation of the literal writing of the rule is he did not stand there and shake the post.
We had a party.
What is he doing on the post? He ran and he jumped on the post.
He shook the damn posts.
Honestly, these people think we are stupid.
That's just fired up as Jared Kemp.
Where's the Waitley composure?
Yeah.
He's the considered voice on everything.
Well, so all week, and I've listened to the whole thing all week, and all week he's been challenged on this, and he was so strong in the fact, how can you expect to jump on a post and not shake the post? So that's the consequence of jumping on a post. It shakes.
But in a literal sense, he could argue, could he not, that I didn't think jumping on the post automatically meant shaking the post.
You'd have to foresee that would be the consequence.
Right, okay. Now, I'm personally sick of that one, okay, right?
Yep.
But I want to ask you about this one.
Sure.
When there's a big issue, a lot of other important issues get lost.
Yes.
Now, Nathan Fyfe should have got at least 2 weeks and probably three for that hit last week, the raised forearm to the head. The Ablett one wasn't going to hurt anyone. It was silly, and Chris Scott was silly the way he tried to defend him too. The bumper bar stuff was nonsense.
Right.
Gary Ablett didn't have to make contact with the North bloke.
No, that's
In fact,
right.
he created contact.
That's true, yep.
So Chris saying bumper bars and rubbish
But
like
you know
that.
The explanation is that you don't want players to be able to go on and then be part of the next play. So they're sort of instructed to stop them from running
on. But, I mean, it's not a technique thing. Gary chose to do that.
Yes, I agree.
And this bloke's been playing for 18 years.
I agree with that, yep.
But the Fyfe one is just, it can't be condoned. And the authorities have done that. And I'll tell you what – this is the fallout, right? This is – I'll tell you who posted this tweet later. So we can throw elbows now. Sweet. Mitch Robinson.
Yeah, well, we played that as well, the next day.
This is – he sums up what – I mean, he's not going to go out there and whack a bloke
with
his elbow. But that's the thinking now. The rationale of players is, well, if Fyfe can do it, either two things. Either the good players get away with it or they've – slacken their crackdown on head high contact.
Okay, you've been watching and following this game for a long time. Have the good players always got away with it? Always.
Yep.
There's always been a rule for the good players and the not so good players or the not as well known players.
In principle, yes, there have been exceptions. I mean, some good players have been rubbed out of grand finals and stuff like that. Like
Dermot got rubbed out a lot. Wayne Carey got rubbed out a lot.
I think a couple of those were.
Unavoidable?
No, you couldn't undefendable.
That's like Blind Freddy. He was prepared to weigh in on
that. Have you always thought that?
In principle, yes. I mean, and the greatest example, and it won a decided the grand final, was Barry Hall.
Yep.
Barry Hall should have got rubbed out. But the AFL wanted him to play, and people like me who was working in the – I was working in the industry at the time, I sort of deep down wanted him to play and sort of almost created a reason why he should. But that was a nonsensical argument about the ball being in play.
What about Brownlow medals contention? Do you think that becomes an issue? Would it be embarrassing?
Probably. You know, when we consider – it depends where we stand on lots of issues. And sometimes you want certain things to happen – I mean, I was supported Ablett a week ago because I thought having such an unblemished record over such a long period of time, he deserves some consideration. So I think if you throw all the ingredients in, it is more difficult to rub out a good player than an ordinary player.
And then if you're talking about the Barry Hall incident, you're talking about the consequence of not playing in the biggest game.
Correct.
How do you grade that?
Yes.
Yeah. And does that come into your consideration when you're marking the offence?
Yeah. One grand final's worth... six home and aways.
Well,
or
should it come into the consideration?
Should and the fact that he didn't miss. He didn't miss anything.
Well, when you get reported in the grand final, the suspension is much greater than what you would if you did the same thing in a home and away.
Mm.
Didn't Dusty Martin get apparently lenient treatment last year when he was reported?
Trent Cotchin did. Was Trent Cotchin
in the prelim final a couple of years ago? Yeah.
Well, in the eye of the beholder, but he was.
It is, encapsulate it this way: it seems to be much far more difficult to rub a good player out in September than an average player.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
Hey, hold your thoughts on Tom Boyd. We'll get to them after the break. I want to talk about that and getting whether that would have happened back in the day. And whether you're aware of any players back in the day that at the very peak of their earning capacities, let alone their football career, just walked away on the back of, you know, health issues. I know physically it's happened, but whether the mental health side of it is aware, you're aware of any of that. He's in the studio for the official AFL Select Footy Stars collector cards. And not surprisingly, as we always say about this archaic text machine, which we love, by the way, and we love the feedback, but when the topic gets hot, the machine blows up. And Mike blew it up.
Did I? What, good or bad?
Well, just people wanting to have an opinion about the you sound like a girl. Some agreed with you, majority not. But that's all right.
Okay. Can I raise something else?
Yeah.
That's what you're here for. You don't just stand in there.
A whole week with my toilet paper and tissues. All sorts of. Now, what happened to the enforcement of the rule that you can't dispose of the ball after the umpire has paid a free kick? You know what I'm talking about?
Otherwise, like, there'd be a fitty.
You go give it back to the player.
Yes.
Is that the one?
Now, I saw it twice last weekend. Clearly, the umpire has paid a decision and say it's going Essendon's way, and the player on the opposition team just kicked it away. Right?
I saw one of those, yeah.
Which one was yours?
I don't know which one it was, but I watched so much footy over the weekend, I can't recall exactly what it was.
A bash Nathan Fyfe segment, but he was the one against Richmond.
Who's a smart player, knows exactly what's going on.
And there could only have been one decision when the whistle blew, only one.
Kristen Brand?
And he got it and he kicked it through the goals. Now, the umpires can be their own worst enemies in these things.
There's a lot of leniency applied to
this. You know, because the new rule, the fashionable one now, is that stupid 100-metre penalty for the protected zone.
Hey, Michael, did...
Why are you looking at me like that, Tim?
I'm listening to you.
Okay.
Yeah, intently.
Was there a player back in the day, you've been covering this game for a long, long time, that you can remember walked away at age, what's Tommy Boyd, 24?
23.
With, you know, don't worry about the money, but a highly paid player who could set himself up for life, who walked away at the peak of his powers because of, we know injury got people, because that takes it out of your hands, but for issues?
The honest answer is probably Gaz, but I can't actually give you an example.
Because you can't cast aspersions
if you're not sure. But what I do remember is a lot of players went home because of homesickness and family and pressures like that.
I mean, we spoke about Stephen Oliver. Remember Stephen Oliver, the Castlemaine kid who was going to be better than Jezelenko, who just said, nah, not for me.
I think the view of, say, the Tom Boyd of 30 years ago, I think the view would have been, look, he's a bit soft, you know, just not committed enough.
That's what they would have bundled into it.
Yeah. Back in the day, that's exactly how it would have been termed.
Yeah. All right, well, that's a good thing that we got to that stage.
It is, and we're all sympathetic towards Tommy. Tommy used to live at the bottom of my street in Albert Park, so I used to see him regularly.
Yep.
Just a nice kid, and I look at him, but he's so big. And so, look, when I watched 360 last night and they went back to an interview with him before the draft camp.
Have a listen. We've got the interview that you're going to allude to right now. Have a listen to this. The Riddler gets it. He has got it. No, he's going to chase. My fault. We'll get that.
And it was really interesting. This is a kid that most of us would have this dream that we just want to play league football, right? And Tommy, I think at the start, everyone thought he was going to go at number one. Anyway, let's have a listen to him now.
Football used to be a bit of an escape from school, but lately I've kind of found that school's a bit of an escape from footy, and all the talk and excitement that's around it. You just get to school and you can kind of knuckle down and focus on that.
See, that's back the front to convention, isn't it? I mean,
I couldn't get out of school quick enough.
Exactly.
To go and play footy.
Every kid with footy aspirations at 17, he didn't need any diversion from football.
Mm. But the focus, it was completely different back in the day, though, wasn't it? Like the focus that's on players now and the attention that's afforded somebody that's going to go the number one pick in the country is great. I mean, the spotlight's huge. And for some players, we all think because you play sport, then you want the notoriety and you want the focus. But there are a lot of people who play this game who want to play the game, but they effectively want to be invisible at the same time.
Just for the game's sake.
They love the game. Yeah. They love playing. They love the competitive nature. True. They love all those things that the game does for them, but they don't necessarily want to be the focus of anything.
But I heard
Baker, I'll just give you this example. Yeah. Leon Baker, okay, one of the greatest players ever played football alongside, he hated the focus on, like, Leon. In fact, Leon Baker could not have played football today because he wouldn't have been able to put up with all the other things associated with the game today, because they were all the things he despised about the game. But he was lucky he played at a time when there wasn't this same attention afforded to it.
Bruce Stools, another example. Like, he played 350 games, and if he did an interview, it was only one.
Let's say the modern day equivalent of that is this. The players say, I want my privacy, right? I don't want to. Yet they jump on the social media stuff because there's something in it for them from that point of view, commercially.
Well, that's contradictory behaviour if that's the case.
Well, that happens.
That happens. But saying it wouldn't have been Leon Baker that would have done that, by the way.
Well, my question would have been, had there been a commercial reality to it, would Leon have changed?
No.
There are players.
He was wired in a different way.
Yeah. Tim, I really enjoyed your discussion with Gaz pre 8 o'clock and the views about Tommy, and you are more empathetic, I think, because you worry about what we might say about someone that might affect their state of mind. Mm. But Gary was right. I mean, if you take the number one draft pick and then you take the $1 million contract, implicit in that is that the scrutiny that's going to come with it.
Yeah, of course. I look, when you analyse the Tom Boyd story now and you look back at all the things that have contributed to where he is and has become today, I wonder, as a manager, and that, I would have loved to have been able to speak to Liam Pickering today too, because I wonder as a manager, when you go back and you do that deal, and not only is he the number one player, then you sign a deal, which is great for him and his financial stability, all that sort of stuff. But there's an added pressure that's associated with that too. Do you go back and think, maybe that's not the right thing for a young player that's still making his way in the game?
Mike Sheen's with us in the studio having some fascinating conversations here. 1-300-736-736. You can share, or you can or you can ring, or you can text 0433981116. What?
Yeah, I'm happy to share too. Question.
That's just the one I've posed to you off air. I might put it in questions without notice, but I've given you a little bit of notice.
No.
What else did you want to
talk about? I wanted to talk about what does last week's loss mean to GWS?
Tim is going to unpack that this Sunday when Hawthorn take on Richmond at the MCG, because tactically the GWS were bereft of any idea in how to counter Alistair Clarkson's brilliance.
Did the players not respond, though? This is the thing. We've all spoken to coaches, and they will say, okay, the instruction was this, the players just didn't respond. I've spoken to a coach, and I said, okay, why has your side played like that for the last 2 weeks? And he said, okay, because 3 weeks ago we set them up to play like this, and then since that they've taken it to the nth degree, and they haven't changed the way that they've played, okay? So I give Leon Cameron an out here, okay? He didn't want Hawthorn to take as many uncontested marks as what they did at the weekend, which allowed them to just control the methodical way that they brought the ball from one end of the ground to the other.
Gary, I suspect that you sit in the corner of the – he was out-smarted, and it was a strategic result. I'm not of that view. I thought the GWS players were disgraceful. Yeah, the two coaches gave their votes at the end of the game, as they do every other week. The two coaches in this game found eight Hawthorn players and no GWS players in the vote. I can't remember that happening before.
They found 14.
Well, that's my point. I don't think that's a strategic thing. I think that's a lack of application from a group that's talented enough to finish top four.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive, Mike.
So but some blokes are that good.
They set up the way the Hawthorn set up. They just looked stumped, and there wasn't a lot of proactivity in terms of overcoming it.
But when you've got Kelly and Canelio and blokes in that, they can find a footy anywhere. They could get kicks,
but
regardless of what the strategy was.
Because they weren't there, they couldn't get through it.
No, because they just didn't. I don't know. Something happened to this. There was a malaise in this group that meant that was probably as bad as performances we've seen this year.
Jimmy Bartels says the worst performance ever in their history.
I'm talking about across the board as bad as. Oh. When you're as capable as this team and you perform like that.
So, therefore, do you trust them going forward or not?
Well, no, that's really shaken my faith in them. I think they're pre-last Sunday, I thought that they were a genuine premiership contender.
Right, but teams can have bad days.
That's a bad, bad day, isn't it?
Yep. Teams can have bad, bad days.
Yeah. And the extension of that is the last one. Tim, you sat next to the great Duck last Monday night, Wayne Carey, and he said Hawthorn are the most boring team in the competition to watch.
The way they played at the weekend would bore you to whatever you want.
Which, again, we discussed this last week, boys, last Friday.
Yeah.
Is it aesthetics or is it...
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
And not every game.
But there's a greater responsibility. We can't have teams playing that sort of football.
Sound like Andrew Demetrio.
Well,
to Paul Roos.
Yeah, and I
sometimes... Roos turned around and said, yeah, I've just delivered this 71 years in the making.
Yeah, but no, well, that was before that.
Right.
Yeah. I think we've got to be mindful. We can't let the coaches set the agenda on the way the game looks.
But, Mike, you've been watching this game a long time. Yeah. Over the course of the weekend, each game can be a little bit different. Some can be high scoring, some can be low scoring. Did you see the Fremantle-Richmond game?
And I loved it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that happened on the same weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and 3 hours after the Hawthorn game at the MCG, that game occurred.
Yeah. And guess what happened Sunday? Richmond collide with Hawthorn. What's going to happen?
Mercifully.
Tim will unpack that for us. Yeah, he's commentating.
Good. I'm looking forward to it, Tim.
Me too.
Righto.
Break. Questions without notice coming up. SEN Breakfast for Melbourne Airport long-term car park, $99 for 7 days. Even cheaper if you book online. Questions without notice up next. Tech trouble? Call 1-300-GEEKS to you. Welcome back. Mike Sheen's with us for my favourite part of the week. Also because it's 20 minutes before we knock off.
I feel pumped up there.
Tim Watson, who's been in good form, but I find he tends to just to knock off early on a Friday.
Yeah. Tim!
Have
we got you?
Let's Mike do a lot of the heavy lifting. So you'll come to life in questions without notice, which is what we're doing right now. And that is brought to you by Geeks to You. 1-300-GEEKS to You is the place to go. Mosquito.
If you're experiencing tech travel, that is the place to go.
Chris, my first one without notice to you, Tim. And you can join in as well. Did Essendon do the right thing, if Tom Brown's report is correct, and recruit a player in Devon Smith who needs a knee reconstruction?
Yeah, they still did because he was young when they recruited him. If that was the case and they thought, okay, he's got a knee problem, we know that, we need to manage that, it could develop into the possibility of him requiring a reconstruction. He's young enough to have the reconstruction when they recruited him, than to play out a really long career at Essendon. So I would have taken that risk and that chance.
But if he needs a reconstruction, so he brought a ruptured ACL with him,
this is according to a report. We got Tom Brown's report last night on Channel 7 News. Have a listen.
And Tim, just finally, an important update on Devon Smith from the Bombers tonight. He'll see the surgeon on Monday. It looks like he needs surgery, which would keep him out, a knee surgery, for 6 to 8 weeks. I can tell you in the next 3 years, he also needs a knee reconstruction. The logical thing would be to get both done at the same time, which would rule him out for the entire season. It's an agonising choice that he faces when he sees Julian Feller, his surgeon at the Epworth on Monday, Devon Smith, Tim.
So Tom Brown's saying the PCL injury, which he's carrying now, needs surgery, which is a 6 to 8. But on top of that, of which Essendon were aware of when they recruited him, he needs a knee reconstruction because of some already.
So an ACL that is going to some stage rupture.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Hmm. Gee.
You're cool.
Okay. Well, I can't answer that. My question to you.
To me?
Yeah, you, Gary. If you were the forwards coach at Carlton, what advice would you have for Charlie Curnow?
Study.
Study. You mean other players?
Study forward line play like you would if you were studying for a law exam.
So watching replays, watching good players.
Yep, and he may do that. He may do that.
Do you see when you watch?
No, I don't. I see it as an area for improvement. But I also see a magnificent canvas on which to work with.
Yeah.
You could produce something really spectacular.
So are we just a bit impatient with him?
Probably. Yeah, I think he's still young. He's still learning. But Darcy Moore, who I'm all in on, Chip's all in on, he got the better of Darcy on a couple of occasions last week, which says to me that he's got everything you need. He's just got to add some elements to it, add a few tricks and get something that becomes his stock in trade and then add to it.
Mike, Port Adelaide have picked Joel Garner this week. Does that mean that they've aborted their youth policy?
We got any drop-in wickets, have we, coming over at Port Adelaide?
That's not the question. Finish this sentence. Bob Hawke was?
Probably the best PM of my time on the planet. And certainly the younger Hawke was a brilliant politician. I was disappointed in the end that he just clung on to office when Keating wanted the job and ultimately got it. And the one thing I'll say, the legacy for Bob Hawke to me was that he convinced the world not to mine in Antarctica. And my criticism of modern politicians is that they leave nothing. They just come and go and no one can remember whatever they did.
A great larrikin?
Yeah, yeah. I had an afternoon with Alan Aylett and Bob Hawke at the Parmelia Hotel in Perth on a state trip.
Oh.
She's a larrikin. Larrikin's right. He was a larrikin at 2 o'clock. You should have seen him at 10 o'clock.
A likable larrikin.
Well, he was smoking then, and he was certainly drinking then, and he had a few other pursuits that he was pretty keen on too.
Michael.
He was having a bet on the side, was he?
He liked a bet, yeah. Right, Timbo, I've got one for you.
Yep.
If the Brownlow medal were decided next Monday night, would you back Tim Kelly or Patrick Cripps?
Patrick Cripps, because I think that there'd be a lot more players at Geelong that would be taking votes off Tim Kelly than there will be at Carlton taking votes off Paddy Cripps. Even though he's been in sides, he's only been in one winning team for the year.
Yes.
I still think that he would be ahead of Tim Kelly right now.
There is a sort of almost a convention now, though, isn't it, that the winning team provides the three-vote winner?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But if you look at I've just looked at the coaches' votes, okay, which is very different than the umpiring votes. But he's leading the coaches' award right now too, Paddy Cripps. Tim Kelly's in the top. He's in the top five, but Paddy Cripps is ahead right now.
Michael, the AFL are making sort of noise about, well, not making noise. They've banned some footy goers for 5 years for fighting, which I'm on board with, and even talking about imposing life bans because we can't have it. How do you enforce it?
I asked Sammy Edmund that question when I arrived this morning. I agree with that. I agree with the principle.
Yep.
But what about if one of these blokes is up in Brisbane, decides to go to the Gabba?
About Brisbane? They go to the MCG. How are you going to enforce a 5-year ban?
Put a microchip in.
No, but you know.
You can't do that. That's an invasion of privacy.
You
can't
get a. Okay, that's just an idea.
From a membership point of view. But you can't. How do you just go out and buy a ticket and in you go? Yeah, unless you've got facial recognition at every single. Yeah.
No, I'm impossible. With you on that. I think, and that's the strength of this will be a 5-year penalty that means something.
Well, the bloke who's been penalised, what do you reckon he's doing right now? He's going, oh, fair enough, I'll see you at the footy next week. Is that a penalty?
He'd be pretty bold to do that, I reckon.
But what I'm saying is if he wants to go, how do you stop him?
Yeah, no, it's a legitimate question.
Gary, question for you. Jared Ruffhead kicked 5 goals in the VFL last week, no return this week. Does he have to kick 10? To get back into the team?
No.
What does he have to do to get back in the team?
I just think it's so much about what he has to do. It's about how the team's tracking, about the senior team, how the senior team's tracking, I think. If he demonstrates a month of really good, solid form, then he puts himself back in the frame. But 1 week wasn't going to elevate him back into that side, I wouldn't have thought.
Yes. Can I ask you one? I'll ask both of you.
Yep.
Not sure I'm totally committed to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Who has
done more for their club, Buddy for the Swans or Tommy Boyd for the Bulldogs?
Whoa.
No, Buddy Franklin. Well, I think it's an easy question to answer. I think Buddy for the Sydney Swans.
I think Tom Boyd for the Western Bulldogs.
Why? Because they won the flag.
It's what we play for.
Yeah, but it's not the only thing we play for.
Pretty much.
I'm with you, Tim. I think
there's a body of work there that has to have surpassed what Tom Boyd's
done. The Swans are the best performed team of this century and largely off the back of Buddy.
That's the four-time premiership player's answer. This is the no-time premiership player's answer. I'll take the medal.
Let him take one home.
Your question, Gary.
Can Dan Hannebery turn perception around by season's end?
It can. If he comes back...
Dan Hannebery turn perception
around? That's a completely different question.
I have two up my
sleeve. I think that what he's gone through, and according to the people at St Kilda, about this whole sort of rebuilding of him and repositioning him, I think that he's capable of being able to return to the form that we saw him at the Sydney Swans.
Will he?
I can't answer that question. That's unanswerable.
The question.
Yeah. But I can't.
You're saying no then?
No, I'm saying that I can't answer the question.
Well, I want you to answer it.
How can I crystal ball that?
Answer questions without notice. It's questions without notice.
Well, how can I project?
2-0 to me.
Hang on, no, it's not about that. How can I definitively answer whether or not he's going to come back and play like he did last year or the year before that?
You say, I think he will, yes. I think he'll play the last four or five games of the year and we'll be reminded of just how good a player he is.
Okay, what do you think?
Yes.
You think he will?
I think he'll play the last four or five games of the year and remind us of how good a player he is.
And he'll justify his selection by St Kilda.
Pretty sure that's what I just said.
I'm still unsure.
Gary,
yes.
When we talk about the best ruckman in the competition and their value, and it's Grundy now and rightly so and Gawn, why does Ben McAvoy never get a mention?
He did recently, which I was pleased with. Someone put him up there. Because he's been an outstanding recruit, hasn't he?
This came up a couple of weeks ago. Wayne Carey says something about the best contested mark in the competition. And, you know, he's pretty confident in his own views, the Duck. Mm. And I volunteered the opinion. I think McAvoy is as good as contested mark as there is.
Yep.
And I just think this bloke has been a brilliant servant to Hawthorn, hasn't he?
I agree wholeheartedly. And if you went through the numbers, this is what Reece Stanley from the middle of last year is ranked number three behind those other two.
And isn't it because the Geelong decided in the finish to go with Stanley and not alternate Stanley and Smith week after week?
And some continuity. Last one, because we're going to go. Bryce Gibbs is available to play this week for the Adelaide Crows and they've named him as emergency. Mm. Where does he fit into their plans?
He doesn't right now.
It's unreal, isn't it?
Is that definitive enough for you?
Finally.
It is, but it raises another question, Tim.
What is the question?
Why were they prepared to sell the farm to get him?
They made a mistake.
Well, he's now come good. He's come good with his strong answers at 8:58. We'll better take a break. Coming towards the end of a very, very busy week, and Kane Corns is joining us after 9 o'clock. Mike Sheen's in the studio. We're here for Melbourne Airport long-term car park. If you're heading out to the airport this weekend, then there's parking options for everyone. Long-term, $99 for 7 days. It's even cheaper if you book online. There you go. Michael is here for the official AFL Select Footy Stars collector cards for serious collectors, big and small. What do you got on your little Nokia?
Lloydie just
flip top.
He won the BNF last year. Who was he talking about?
Devin Smith. Well, he's not talking about himself, no. Old Lordo. And you're not supposed to tell your people.
Sorry, Matty.
He texted you through. What have you got, Michael?
I'm just looking at a selection.
Devin Smith won the best of
No, but
first.
I don't think that's who he's referring to.
Oh, Lordo, tell us who you're referring to. You've confused the old champ.
Mike, the Brisbane Lions have brought a new player into their team, Mitch Hinge. Have they brought him in to hold up the back line?
What are you doing your best work now for? In the last 50, you've come to life again in the last 15 minutes.
Where do you reckon Joel Garner will play, Tim?
I think he's going to open for Port Adelaide.
Malcolm Marshall at the other end. Footy tips quickly. Let's go. We've got 2 minutes in actual fact. So, anyone stumping up for the Demons tonight?
No. Mm-mm. Not with Michael. Not with Mike's money. I wouldn't back him tonight.
Sadly, I'm agreeing.
I don't have any. Remember.
Well,
I got scammed.
You keep talking about that. You say you don't want to talk about it. Then you've done everything except 60 minutes talking about
it. He's actually made 50 grand out of it. He's done that many interviews. He's now in front.
I heard that you wanted to interview yourself on open mic about it.
Mr. Sheehan.
Collingwood at St Kilda at the MCG tomorrow.
Pies.
Pies for mine,
eye. Yeah, pies for me.
Brisbane and Adelaide.
This was tough. I actually went for Adelaide in an upset. I'm happy with the way they're going about their footy at the moment.
I'm going for Brisbane.
Brisbane won't get beaten up there too often, Whispers. I think you've made a mistake there. North Melbourne and Sydney.
North.
Yeah, that's in Tassie.
That's in Tassie. Sydney got a very good record down there, but I've gone for North.
North's record.
No, but North have got a better record. You're quite right.
I'm going for North as well. Port Gold Coast.
Port.
Geelong Western Bulldogs at GMHBA tomorrow.
If I were in the system of taking an outsider, I'd go for the Doggies.
This would be outside bet for the weekend.
They would be. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go for the Cats.
Darcy Fort making his debut, age 25, the big ruckman. Good luck to him.
Essendon
and Freo, that's at Marvel tomorrow.
She's a bit hanging on that, Timmy.
Yeah, there is a bit hanging on this, but I'm going for the Bombers against Fremantle. I think if they were to be defeated by Freo, that would cook their season, though, the Bombers.
Mm, well, and by the same token, it would cook Freo's season.
Who are you going for?
Essendon.
Richmond Hawthorn, a tactical minefield. It'll be unravelled by the Wisp tomorrow on Channel Wisp.
And make sure you got your phone.
Come on.
Make sure you've got your phone at hand when I'm doing the commentary on Sunday afternoon.
Richmond wins.
The preview of this game will be unbelievable. And then the Giants and Carlton.
Giants for me.
Yep.
And me. Lovely having you in.
Well, thank you, guys.
We'll do it all again next week. We'll be back Monday, Whispers.